This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
We probably got to keep the streak going. We either got to talk about Pokemon Go or VR.
No Man's Sky.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 87 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
We have a lot to go over.
We do.
A lot happened this week.
We do.
We were struggling for topics, and then things just rolled in. We're like, oh, wait, this happened. So let's start with Pokemon Go, because apparently we need to update everyone every week on what's happening with Pokemon Go.
It's now in VR on No Man's Sky. So,
Come on. Yeah, you got to catch all the Pokemon in space.
Nice.
All the Mews.
Space Pokemon.
Yeah, they released an update that fixed, I'm doing air quotes for our listeners, it fixed the three-step bug by getting rid of all the steps. So they removed the steps. They changed some UI stuff. And I have to say, it's running a lot smoother lately. Since the weekend, it hasn't frozen on me at all.
The servers have been way better.
Yeah. So it's a lot more responsive, and I feel like I can actually play the game, and I'm starting to realize how boring the game is. just kidding. But, I mean, we've talked about some balance issues and stuff like that and things that they're definitely going to want to look at if for longevity. So, you know, it still remains to be seen if they can tackle those longevity things. But for the most part, you can play the game the way it's meant to be played.
Has your pidgeys per hour gone up since the server load went down?
I don't know. So many
PPH.
Pidgeys.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate the pidgeys. Pidgeys got me to level 21.
Are you still playing? Sean?
I haven't been playing it at all lately. I'll probably start up again. I don't know why. The hype died quickly for me. You know what I really want to do? I want to play the regular Pokemon games now, but I don't have
Sean wants to go back
3DS.
To Miitomo.
I genuinely want to play the games again. So one thing, so Sun and Moon are coming out in what, fall?
Yeah.
They're coming out later this year, and I don't know any of the new mechanics in the game. Like, I don't know half of the things, and I honestly don't know any Pokemon. It's funny, they're up to 700.
Yeah, I only care about the 151 or
yeah,
whatever it was.
Yeah, I know very few. Even the starting three, I know very few of the starting three of any of the other Pokemon games. But anyway, it makes me want to play the real Pokemon, but I'll probably start playing Go again. I think
what
it's
platform
still
is that going to be on? It's only the 3DS.
3DS.
Yeah. They haven't said. It's probably going to be on the NX.
Oh, yeah.
Because the NX reportedly
has
more information has leaked out, and it's supposed to be kind of a handheld that you dock.
Yeah.
Which is smart, because I think one problem particularly that I have now is I like, there are games on the Wii U I like, there are games on the 3DS I like. I don't like enough to really want either console.
Yeah.
But if they were all on one console, that would totally be, I mean, like, there are a bunch of good, Nintendo still makes really solid games. But either way, this kind of makes sense because Wii U sales have been just in the garbage. They really haven't done well, but their even their mobile sales haven't done well. But if they combine it, I mean, having Pokemon as an exclusive title, they have a lot of titles that are definitely platform selling games.
The IP, and I mean, we talked about this when Pokemon Go released, even though it's not straight out owned by Nintendo, just the fact that they're the kingmaker as far as that IP, like what platform it lives on, that sort of thing. So, you know, if you got a good, like, not even a real, quote unquote, real Zelda game or Mario game, but a good Zelda or Mario IP on mobile phones, I mean, it's they can just print money. Metroid, some of the ones that, you know, you haven't seen as much recently, but people still love it. Metroid, even Star Fox, it didn't do so great. I think they kind of dialed it in on that last Star
Fox.
Know.
Yeah, it didn't get reviewed
very
well.
But on mobile,
well,
like, it could do fine.
They've been mismanaging it. If you think about Metroid, I'm pretty sure a Metroid game came out recently that wasn't good. But if you go back to Metroid Prime, I mean, I haven't played them personally, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And that's a huge leap going into 3D. And then you think about Zelda has gone up and down, people differing opinions. But Breath of the Wild? I always want to say Breath of the Wind.
Yeah.
Looks really nice. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. And I don't know. I'm still a Nintendo fan at heart. I just not enough games.
Next topic in our quickfire, what is a computer? So this question is kind of thrown at you because Apple's latest commercial for the iPad Pro literally asked that question.
They literally ripped the marketing language off the surface. No, there's actually a video on Reddit where a guy just took the language from the commercial and just put the Surface like commercial behind it, and it matches up perfectly.
Hey, you gotta have the style. I mean, Microsoft went hard on like dancing techno clicking with the Surface as well. So
yeah, they tried to copy the old Apple ads.
So, well, I mean, they already basically copied the name, like iPad Pro. Clearly, there's only one Pro in town, and that's a Surface Pro.
Exactly. Thanks, Sean.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. But, you know, we started this conversation when the first iPad came out. Like, are we living in a post-PC world? What does PC mean anyway? And, you know, there was that line of commercials, Mac versus PC, but you could call a Mac a personal computer if you expand what PC stands for. So what do you guys think? Are we truly post-PC yet? Are you willing to say something like a tablet with a quote-unquote mobile operating system is an actual computer?
I think possibly, but for weird reasons. I don't think the iPad was what made the difference. I actually think it's a combination of everybody using their mobile phones. And I guess one thing that clearly it is a computer, but the idea that you're taking away the file system, you're taking away all these things where you're basically, I don't know, this gets complicated, but in my head, the post-PC idea, the only way that makes sense the way we're doing it now, I do not make any sense right now.
Words.
Basically, I'm saying, okay, so I would say the usage of phones and, oddly enough, Chromebooks. Because Chromebooks, even though it's still heavy in the education center, it's kind of proving the idea that people could probably live in a browser. And
is a Chromebook a real computer?
Well, that's the question. And so I honestly think the Chromebook, it's almost like a browser that tries to add computer things onto it. But I feel like the main aspect that works that people like about it is that it's a browser. So at that point, in a way, it's not a computer. I hate getting into all these semantic arguments, but I would think that those are the two things that make me think. But I still don't buy that we're in the post-PC era. Because everybody, if you're working, you need, things.
I mean, I get, you know, to Josiah's points in past episodes, you know, a lot of it goes, so my big thing is having a mouse. Like, I absolutely need a mouse. I understand a lot of that has to do with just software optimization. Like, you could
so
clearly...
you need a mouse to call it a computer?
No. I'm just saying, like, for things where... like at work, for example, where you're doing a lot of document and Excel and the other things that I do, I don't think I could.
What do you do?
I don't think I can ask my boss. I don't think I could get by without a mouse. And I think that's.
You could do it in VR.
This is true.
Just as if it's
true.
No, I get that. I guess, you know, and I would argue that these are our personal biases,
right? Of course.
As far as like what is a computer. And I kind of feel. Like, in my mind, a computer, even though I don't necessarily do this, I don't think about a mouse or legacy input, I/O, stuff like that. I don't think of a physical keyboard. I don't think of, running legacy applications. The main thing I think of when I say, is it a computer, is can you code on it? So, even though I don't necessarily code. So I would say, you know... from that standpoint, an iPad Pro is not yet a computer.
Nope.
I can code on my TI-83.
I would say a Chromebook, even though you can do some coding in the cloud and stuff like that, I would say it's probably not going to fit that definition of that I just threw out there as a computer in my mind. So I don't think of it as a serious device. You know, and I think it was actually Steve Jobs who sometimes credited with this idea of, you know... not everybody needs a truck, right? So not everybody needs that computer that can actually code and make other programs and be that high quality, that in-depth at the productive level. But you can still produce a lot of things on these mobile devices, tablets.
Yeah.
And actually, in some cases, you can do those things much, much, much better, right? So it's a much better platform for me to draw and do things with a pencil. Or a stylus.
Do you guys see in your personal experience people kind of replacing their computers in the way people imagine iPads would be. Like, even I feel like even as a consumption device, a lot of times people will still watch it on their laptop. I know I do a lot. It's a little different now.
Like, I have friends who don't even have computers anymore. Like, they just have an iPad. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, all they're doing is web browsing, like doing shopping, and watching Netflix or something like that. You could do all that from an iPad.
I will say there's still a difference between mobile web browsers and computer
browsers. For
sure. That's why I couldn't give it up.
I couldn't do it. But I'm just saying, I know of people.
I actually don't know anybody. I know people with iPads, but or I guess Android devices, but I don't know. I feel like everybody I know still has a laptop.
All right, so moving on. A man reportedly spent $1,300 buying an advanced... buying a leaked copy of No Man's Sky. I think he streamed... Either way, put up a lot of videos of gameplay, like hours and hours of gameplay. Had like a whole shitstorm that followed it of people who... I mean, haters gonna hate, right? Like, at the end of the day,
what's the hate about?
I think people, since there was so little information leading up to this about what you actually do in the game, like to like a concrete example, people were just hating on the game, right?
It was both. It was a mix of a lot of things. So I read the original Reddit article, and he explained why. But people were saying, okay, this is what always happens. Why'd you pay $1,300 for a game? And he explained his whole reasoning why he wanted to do that.
I have no problem with that.
And then other
people can spend their money however they want.
I don't know. Other people just complained that he had it early and that he was showing video and stuff like that. And then of course there are all people who hate, don't like what they saw and things like that. So now get into the game itself.
So the biggest controversy was that he supposedly beat the game, which is defined by, and there's some debate about this, but by reaching the center of the universe.
Galaxy.
This is the conflict.
So he said galaxy, but the way he worded it made it seem like center of the universe, which is the quote unquote end game, right? Is reaching the center of the galaxy. So he said that.
Which is it, the galaxy or the universe?
So that's the problem.
That's the problem.
He said, from what I've read, he said galaxy.
What did the game devs say?
The game, pretty sure, is universe. Really? However, I don't actually know if those are things where they were just being confusing about it. And, and so
regardless, he said he did it in 30 hours.
And so he must have, one thing I should say, he must have hit something that made him think this is the end of the game. Like, obviously something happens when you get to the center of it. So maybe he did get to the end game. I don't know if that's just semantics. It seems silly.
It may not
like, that's
be,
a
though.
Pretty
I don't know how
difference.
Much story is in this, though.
I don't know either.
I don't know that there's any like cutscenes or something that would indicate like, oh, you beat the game,
but
then
you
fly away.
But they did make a point. I'm pretty sure there is something going on, and I think there is a reason why you want
to. But regardless, like, people were expecting this to be like hundreds of hours to get to this point, and he's claiming to beat it in 30, which a lot of people were pissed off about. And I think just in watching the videos, people, you know, and again, this is partly to do with just the way that they've been describing the game up until now, and partly just how people have unchecked expectations of any game that comes out. I mean, same thing with The Division or like anything that's hyped for, especially for 3 years.
No, it should be Galaxy.
Oh, really?
It's the center of the universe is. I don't know how you'd figure out where the center of the universe is, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, but
we've had this conversation before, and it's actually a very, very rare thing for science fiction to even talk about leaving our galaxy to go to another galaxy. And that's why, like, I'm assuming
Star Wars was in a galaxy far, far away,
right? And they didn't leave their galaxy.
Yeah,
they stayed in their
I see
own galaxy. And Andromeda is the nearest galaxy, and that's why I'm assuming Mass Effect is talking about going to a new galaxy, which the universe is made of several billions of galaxies. So, he says it took him 30 hours, and the game devs say it should take you 40 to 100 hours.
Right.
But I'm sure it was...
Well, like, no, so let's clarify a couple things. So first of all, one thing he said about the 30-hour mark is apparently he found some item that ended up being extremely valuable that he used to sell multiple times, or somehow he was able to get it. He sold it to get a really fast ship, I guess. I don't know the mechanics of it, and I think he was being a little bit vague about it on purpose. He actually had some respect for the game in that he didn't want to give away all this stuff. Yeah. He didn't just post everything. Yeah, everything he posted was beginning stuff. But he said, hopefully, Hello Games will just nerf it so that basically on a day one patch,
right,
that won't be as valuable. The other thing with that 40 to 100 hour thing, this was at the very end of 2014. This is what I read, was when he said that. And he specifically said, first of all, 40 to 100 is a pretty huge range. Yeah. But he said that specifically if you know exactly what you're doing. And he said in response, you know, I was just playing this normally. I did a lot of side stuff. This was not a speed run by any means. And so I think the scary thing is, you would think they expanded significantly since 2014. I don't know, but their budget, I assume, ballooned to a degree. And there's always this question of, yeah, I know, it's this hours. What is the point of these BS hour numbers? But they always stressed how big the galaxy was.
Right.
How, like, the whole idea that multiplayer existed, somebody, but you'll never find anyone else. And so it feels weird. I was telling you guys earlier, there was some weird reason. I thought that the center of the galaxy or the center of the universe, whatever it was supposed to be, was something that no one was going to get to. Like, it would be something like a year later.
You'd read about it and be like celebrating.
I don't know why. I mean, that's a stupid idea because then no one would beat it. But
so did all this information make you more or less excited for the game?
It dampened a little bit, but the thing that's going to win me over or not win me over is what you actually do. I still don't. Yeah. I saw some of the videos.
It looks more survival than I was originally thinking it was going to be.
Because he could die. I don't know. I saw a lot of mining. It felt very Minecrafty in the parts I saw.
Well, it's a lot of resource gathering, trading, like all that stuff.
Right? He also made a pet. He fed this random animal, and then the animal started following him, which is kind of cool. I didn't expect that at all. I have like a little dog.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I like the art style. Still look good, but you were mentioning about the graphics. You thought it actually.
So I think the art style from all the promo videos looks fine, but I think it was just the capture. I also purposely did not watch a lot of it because I just kind of want to go into it without knowing too much.
Yeah.
But the video that I saw when I flipped through it just looked really like dim, I guess. Like the colors weren't as vivid and like the art, like it didn't look as good.
Which the vivid colors is really important.
Right. So I'm hoping it was just the capture that it was just not as high quality because I don't know. I mean,
he had the PS4 version, and when you stream from the PS4, it doesn't look that
great.
Anyway. Like it's definitely worse than streaming from a computer. So.
Sean, how many Ks do you have?
I have a fourth of a K.
A fourth of a K.
Oh, wait, no. I'm an idiot. A fourth of 4K, which is 1K.
Which is 1K. 1K. Yeah. Four divided by 4Ks.
So anyway, a company. What? Go ahead.
So
no, you guys. It's your story. It's your story, Sean.
So I believe like this week, NHK. I don't actually know what it stands for, but it's a
stands for eight.
What?
NH stands for eight in Japanese because they have 8K.
So they basically they're a TV company in Japan, and they've been known to be ahead of the curve in terms of the streams of their television stations, I guess. And they're actually doing an 8K stream now. They've officially launched it. It's going to be from like, I don't know, like 12 p.m. to 5 or something like that. But it's crazy that they're streaming in 8K. The funny thing about it is that, I mean, there are very few things they can actually play because most things are not recorded in 8K. But the funny thing about it is the other issue is that there are no 8K monitors or screens that generally available. So they actually, what they're doing is they're setting up kiosks or little display areas so people can see it.
4K monitors together?
Yeah, just do them.
Oh, there's 8 now.
But the funny thing is, like, this is crazy. I mean, most of us don't even have 4K. We still haven't jumped to that. Like, Netflix is one of the few places that are showing content. I don't know if it's still true, but there was that whole story when 4K TVs started coming out. Sony would provide an actual PC with 4K content on it because there was just literally no 4K content available. And they're already on 8K. And it's crazy. And from what I read, apparently, in the 80s, they were already showing HD, which just blows my mind. So,
do you want to move to Japan?
Yeah, basically. So I can see really high-res things.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see. It's also interesting because a lot of this stuff is globalized. Japan was always ahead of us. I still remember in college buying a computer and it had one feature of the screen. And my brother's like, oh, yeah, I saw that a couple of years back when I visited Japan. And this was like the brand new coolest thing at the time in America. And they were always ahead of the curve. But now with globalization, it's kind of evened out where, and honestly, we own a lot of big tech companies. Look, America. So it's interesting America. Still to see.
No, we, the three of us.
Yeah, three of us. Have,
our empire.
Started a VC firm, yeah.
But it's still, it's cool to see that they're doing this. Like, it's crazy that they can do that. And they have to have special rigs and special setups. But man, are you ready for 8K? Do you have the stomach for that many Ks?
Need to go to 8K. 4 first.
You need 4 first?
Yeah.
I'm just going to skip straight to 4.
I've to got 8?
Yeah, skip 4 and go straight to 8.
Do you think, wait, so...
Or 12. Oh. Maybe 12K.
Well, I guess that means, so if a GTX 1080 can play 4K games, that means they need 4 1080s. But you can't do 4-way SLI. We're done. AK, I don't think it's going to be a thing. It's not going to be a thing. Back to 3D.
All right. So Microsoft has this week released their Windows 10 anniversary update, which is 1 year, I guess, after Windows 10 was released. So this is the big...
That's maybe why they call it the anniversary.
That makes sense. So this is a big update that they've been hyping up for a while. There's a number of updates. I won't go into too much detail.
You also have to pay for Windows 10 now.
Yeah, that's another big deal.
You do have to pay for Windows 10 now. But honestly, if you were going to upgrade at this point and you've been ignoring those messages this entire time, like...
I thought about it a lot because my gaming PC is on Windows 7, and the only reason why I didn't upgrade is because I remember having some compatibility issues. But I was
Steam said, I think... About 50% of their gamers are on Windows 10 now.
It makes sense. I don't actually know why. I should have just upgraded, probably.
Well, now you can upgrade for $120.
Yay!
So with the update, there's a lot of Cortana updates. It's integrated more deeply into the system. It's on the lock screen now. Windows Hello, which is the face recognition, has a lot more integration. I think you can do payments now through Windows Hello. A big one was Microsoft Edge extensions. So there were I don't think any extensions up until now. So now it's trying to compete more with Chrome. It's definitely the most requested feature as far as browser goes.
And one thing, just a quick thing on that. A lot of people would probably laugh at that, saying, well, nobody uses Edge anyway. But I will say, using my Mac, one issue I've had is battery life with Chrome. It's just literally abysmal. I probably get a half, sometimes even a third of the battery life. Not a third less. I'm saying a third when I use Chrome. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it gets super hot. So I've been using Safari, even though I hate Safari. So this goes into that. I actually, when I got my MacBook, the reason why I got it was because all of my, all the Windows laptops I had tried got super hot and shitty battery life. And now I'm thinking back on it, maybe it's because I was using Chrome. I wonder if I used something like Edge, I would have no issues and it would have been fine. So, you know, it's something to think about now that it has extensions. I guess you can use it a little bit more.
Well, you do have 32 tabs open.
But honestly, even in Safari, I put that many tabs and it gets warm, but it never gets hot. And the battery life is still very, very strong. It's crazy how, I think with Chrome, I think it might be more my extensions. But then, like, that's what makes Chrome awesome. I use all my extensions. So,
Notifications got an overhaul. You can now sort. You can prioritize notifications and things, which is a big thing. The other interesting thing of that is you can sync it with Windows Phone and also Android.
Yeah,
Phone.
Have you tried this out yet?
I have not yet because I haven't actually. The update came out today. So it's funny because I've been an insider for a while. Yeah. I've been an insider for a while.
What kind of insider gets it the same day?
I've stopped recently because for Visual Studio. When I do work projects, when I work on it from here, I have to be on the same version of Windows. So when I change between the two, it kind of messes things up. So that's not that anybody cares about that, but I will be getting that here.
I
want
to see how that works. I would love to get notifications.
So you can sort of text from your computer, which is kind of the thing I've been excited about. It's not as in-depth as Apple's message Everywhere. Is that what it's called? Or is that what? I don't know. iMessage, yeah. Or maybe this is messes everywhere. Anyway, but the fact that you compare it with Android Phone is pretty awesome.
So one thing you could do right now, which is what I use, is AirDroid, which is pretty good, and it literally mirrors your phone. You can actually look at your screen, but it also does texting and everything else. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, there is a Mac app. There's no Windows app. There is a web app, which is how it started, so you just go to the website, but there's no actual app for Windows. But I use that currently. It works pretty well, but it has some issues.
So also, there are a number of updates to the Xbox home screen and their OS. You can do background music during games, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's
a big
like
request feature. Cortana's on the Xbox now.
You can't play songs while playing a game?
You couldn't.
That's weird.
I don't think you can do that on the PS4.
You cannot.
So these are like they keep doing
it's
all these things that
things.
Are cool.
It's little things.
But to me, the sad thing is, it's still like the games are on the PS4, like No Man's Sky. Hey, although that one will be a PC release,
that's timed exclusive, isn't it?
I probably, but I don't actually know.
Okay, outside of Bloodborne's and Dark Souls.
Bloodborne, No Man's Sky. No, I have a list.
Go,
like there
come
were
on.
Actually. I know. I'm trying to think of it.
No, you're on the spot.
Uncharted.
I want to know now.
Uncharted.
Did you play Uncharted?
What? I will.
That's what I thought.
It's actually. A really
what are you playing right
game.
Now, Sean?
What?
Metal
what are you
Gear
playing
Solid.
Right now?
Dragon's Dogma. No, Metal Gear Solid's on the both.
Yeah, it's on both.
On Xbox?
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, also with this update, Microsoft released the. Did you think of a game?
No, I'm saying, do you play your PS4 more or do you play your Xbox
I only
more?
Play PS4 because you boneheads made me get one.
We don't have censorship.
Actually, to be honest, I just play PC now anyway. So anyway.
Actually, I'm pretty much the same way as well. Yeah. But Final Fantasy?
So the Xbox One.
Shenmue?
That's what?
Right? Isn't that going to be?
That's
going
to be on PC.
Oh, yeah.
The Xbox. So let me finish. The Xbox One S was
Last
released.
Last Guardian?
Oh, I hate you so much. Xbox One S was released, which is the slimmed down version of the Xbox One. It's like significantly slimmer. It
no,
also,
it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It's smaller, man.
No, it's.
It's 40% smaller.
It's shorter.
Yeah.
So it's not as wide. It's about the same height.
I don't
which,
think so.
If
I thought from the pictures
about,
I saw
that.
It was shorter,
no, it
too.
It looks shorter.
Oh, no, those damn lenses.
Because they did it in two-tone. It's black and white. And they in all the pictures, they stack it on top of the black Xbox One. It's not as small as you think it is.
Okay, anyway.
It's terrible.
Anyway.
I can't believe people are falling
for it. It's got 4K video support, not 4K game support. It's coming out with Scorpio.
No, it says, in fact, you could easily fit... Well, okay, that doesn't talk about height. It says you can easily fit an Xbox One S in an Xbox One, but I guess if it's the same height, that doesn't make a difference.
I can
they also
a
put
a slightly smaller box inside of a larger box.
Oh, one thing I will say... you keep talking about it, but with the size, the power brick's also inside it, which I think is a big deal.
That's big, but... Tell me this. Is it as small as a PS4?
I can't.
I'll look that up. Anyway, basically, I wouldn't get one unless I did not have an Xbox. Like, there's no reason to go from Xbox One to One S, right?
Correct.
That said, there are ridiculously good deals on both of those systems right now, so... If you don't have one, it's a good time to get
it. It honestly, it seems like it's one of those things where... this is, I know this is what happens later on, but you almost wish this is what the Xbox One was originally.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it looks good if it's actual, the size differences are there. It looks like it's as tall.
So Instagram just insta-stole a feature from Snapchat, their stories feature. So I don't use Snapchat very, very much. Like Sean sends me snaps every once in a while of his cat, and it's all I can do to like actually look at the snaps. Instagram is rolling out over the next 2 or 3 weeks, they said, this new feature called Stories, basically. So the idea that you can take several pictures at once or in a short span of time, and instead of publishing them to your feed and kind of spamming your followers, you take several and then add them to a story, and you can... Right on the story, on the pictures, so you can put some text on top of them, overlays and stuff like that, and then publish a series of pictures. So as far as I understand, it's exactly like the Snapchat feature. And when asked about the similarities, the guy was like, yep, Snapchat deserves all the credit. So, yeah.
Do you think you'll use it?
I use Instagram a lot more than I use Snapchat, so I'll probably use it. Like,
no reason not to.
I kind of did this anyway, but I never actually published it. But when I go on walks for Pokemon, just to tie up our, our quickfire series with the beginning and ending comments here. When I go on Poke Walks, as I call them, I like to take pictures of things that remind me of Pokemon. So I take pictures of bugs and skunks and raccoons and kittens that I see on my walks. So it'd be fun to publish that as a story.
Huh. But, wow, you already released it. Now someone's going to copy you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I've been done that.
All right, so let's move on to the change-up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the banner. So Josiah and I and the Roll to Hit crew, minus Thaddeus, a.k.a. Sean Thomas, are going to Gen Con in Indianapolis, which is a 13 or so hour drive for us, which is a lot of time in the car. So the change-up for this week is, what do you like to do on a road trip?
So I always get car sick, so I cannot read anything.
That
on a
sucks.
Road trip, I am doing one of two things, which I don't mind. This is totally. It used to be always I would just listen to music, like nonstop. I would just listen to music the whole way. Now it's changed up a bit since I love podcasts. I tend to do podcasts. I listen to things like Roll to Hit, The Unwind, just all the Commentist Network, just the things. Actually, that's what I don't listen to. But
great plug.
Yeah, I know. But either way, I'm always the type that's listening to something. I don't taking in the surroundings. I'm not really big on, you know, seeing what's around me. I just like listening.
So I am going to play Pokemon Yellow. I found my old Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color. I forget which one it is. And I found the only game I could find for it was Yellow.
I think that's still Game Boy Color. I don't think that was on the Advance. I think Silver and Gold were
but
on
you
the
can
Advance.
Play.
Oh,
you can
play
it on
backwards.
The Advance. Actually, I think I got the Advance. Anyway, so I could not find a charger, so I had to eBay one real quick. So that's what I'll be doing.
Apparently, I'll be driving, which means I'll be playing Pokemon.
You don't know
Go.
That those are mutually exclusive. I could drive and play Yellow at the same time.
Yeah, I'll be driving, but since these kids have headphones, all the kids these days have their
headphones. Listening to Roll to Hit the entire way. It's going to be amazing.
Hey, if you download every episode, we'll plug it in.
All right.
Listen to it.
Just have a Mass Effect
theme
song.
We just have to do
song.
It at 2X, because I listen to everything at 2X. Just to follow up, this is a quote from a website. When sitting Xbox One S and PlayStation 4 side by side, you will note the size of the former, that's the Xbox One S, is more comparable to the PS4 than when the original Xbox One is factored in. That said, Xbox One S is taller than the PS4, but shallower in depth and pretty much the same size in width.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 2 years later, they managed to make something as small as the PS4, and I'm supposed to get excited about it.
Well, it's also it's HDR.
As someone who has 4K. An Xbox One, that's a significant difference, though. That's my
it
point.
It is, but I'm saying they just dropped the ball significantly on the original Xbox One.
Sure. Yeah.
And one thing, my understanding is one reason why the original Xbox One is so big is because they were super scared about heat issues that plagued the Xbox 360. But still, to your point, I mean, the PS4 had no launch issues as far as I know, or no serious launch issues in terms of overheating. So clearly, they figured it out. They knew how to do it. I mean, they should have. I'm surprised they didn't get the Surface Pro team on building that thing. Imagine a Surface, an all-metal Xbox One. Well, it was surprisingly hard to find a video like that, but I'm glad you brought that up. But earlier in the week, last week, a lot of earnings numbers came out. And tech companies were really up. Basically, every company, except I think Apple was down a little bit. I don't remember. Or maybe it wasn't as high. They didn't beat expectations. But either way, Google did really well. Facebook did really well. Everybody's doing really well in the tech space. And there was a time last week where the top five companies by market capitalization were tech companies. It was Apple, it was Alphabet, which is basically Google, then it was Microsoft, then Amazon, then Facebook. Now, I should say one caveat, later in the day, Exxon posted their earnings report, and so they moved into third just ahead of Amazon. And actually, I don't know if this is updated. Berkshire Hathaway may have jumped over Facebook. But either way, there's a point where the top five biggest companies by market cap were all tech companies. Like, to me, that's incredible. I mean, these are all really new companies when you look at it. Mm-hmm. And, the only dinosaurs are really Apple and Microsoft. But Alphabet, Amazon, Facebook, I mean, Facebook is clearly newer than the first two. But still, they're relatively new companies when you compare it to Exxon.
Sure.
And then also, it deviates so much from the traditional thought. Whenever you think of the big companies, it's all the ones that are next in line on by market cap. There's the Exxons, Johnson & Johnson, General Electric, AT&T, Wells Fargo. Like, you're seeing, you know, banking, oil, all these things that you expect to be up there. And they're all dominated by tech. I think that's crazy. Like, it makes a lot of sense, but it shows you how much technology has changed the way we do things and how much influence. Like, even if you look at the top companies, I'm actually a little surprised that there aren't more oil companies, but usually there's one company from each sector. Mm-hmm. Maybe Johnson & Johnson. Well, I guess they're still like healthcare, so it'd be different. But I mean, Exxon is oil. Berkshire Hathaway, they're a conglomerate, so they do a ton of stuff. Johnson & Johnson, I guess you could say healthcare products, that kind of product. General Electric, they do a lot of things, but they're, I don't know, appliances, cars, finances. Everybody's diversified. AT&T, they're a phone company. Like, it's just crazy, all that diversity. And granted, they still are very different tech companies, but the top five being all tech companies. Like, what do you think? Like, this... It feels like a relatively quick rise to power. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think the bigger story is the how young the companies are, right? Because with the exception of Berkshire Hathaway, all of those companies that you named are the old school ones. So ExxonMobil,
Johnson & Johnson.
I think Johnson & Johnson's like over 100 years old. GE is probably close to 100
AT&T,
years old.
Like,
AT&T, over 100 years old. So, I know it kind of got broken apart and put back together, but that name is effectively 100 years old. But you could argue that at some point, Johnson & Johnson with pharmaceuticals was a type of technology company. They do more consumer products
That's
now, but at the start, they were a little bit more on the pharmaceuticals side. You could argue that oil companies at one point were a technology company because of the technologies needed to find and drill oil, etc. And then they shifted into a commodity as, you know, you pull oil out of the ground, it's basically the same type of oil. I know they're different. There's a spectrum of types of oil, crude oil versus sweet and blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, it's just oil, right? So you look at it, and I would say it's not surprising that technology, it's just like technology being software and consumer technology is the latest kind of technology. But, you know, if it were Boeing on there, or if it were, you know, some other IBM or something, those would be still technology companies, right? So we're specifically saying like software, consumer, electronics, technology.
Yeah, I think one thing though, so while a lot of these were advanced because of technology, some of these older companies, they would never be considered competitors in the traditional sense. I mean, maybe from the idea of being the base company.
Well, in the traditional sense that we've come to know it in the last 30 years.
Well, but in what way would Johnson & Johnson compete with Exxon?
They are, I could say that technology is
like they're not in the same space. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong. Facebook is a little bit different than I would say Apple, Microsoft, and even Google. Like Google Plus, let's throw that out. And Amazon in that way too.
What I'm saying is that pretty much everything beyond what we are calling generally the technology sector, pretty much everything else has been commoditized.
Yeah.
Right. There's some innovation in pharmaceuticals, but even then, you only have what is it, a 20-year patent? And it's patent from the time you register. So it might not be on the market for 20 years before the patent expires, and then literally you have generics. And that medicine effectively, other than its name brand and recognition, becomes a commodity, right? Commodity means that there is little to no differentiation between one product from a company and another product. That's why we can say TVs and VCRs or DVD players or whatever it is, Blu-ray players were effectively commodities when they came to market. There's very little difference between Sony's Blu-ray player and Samsung's Blu-ray player, right? Other than the costs and the letters that come after the S, right? So So the non-commodity businesses are what we are typically calling consumer technologies.
Yeah.
And even those will soon become commoditized, like we just saw with Instagram copying Snapchat, right? So these things, because we move at such a fast pace these days, things become commoditized fairly quickly. And even at one time, like there was a difference between oils, right? So you had Pennzoil, you had Mobil and then Exxon, and before they merged, you had Shell, and like there was actual differences between the types of oils that they made available to the consumer. But now it's all commoditized, literally. So, you know, to me, it's, if you zoom out big enough, I don't think the idea that these are all in the same sector and technology is that significant. What I do think is significant is the age of these companies, Microsoft being the oldest at 41 years old, Apple being 40 years old sometime this year, and the others being, what, less than 20 years old.
Yeah, and honestly, like they're, well, I guess Apple and Microsoft, definitely their rise to prominence has been over many years, but it's crazy their scale at this point. I also want to bring up another thing that I found interesting that I think deviated, especially after 2008, people, and nowadays with the disparity in terms of CEO pay versus lower worker pay, there's always been a negative outlook for a lot of people on big companies, big corporations. When people think of Exxon, I feel like people don't like them. You think of anything in the banking sector, look at some of these other companies like Walmart, even, I mean, you could argue Johnson & Johnson. I'm sure some people don't like the way they manufacture products or something like this. AT&T, everybody hates them. I feel like these companies are all pretty well-liked companies. And it's funny because they're doing a lot of the same things that other companies have done. Like, you know, Apple is making a huge profit margin, so they could make their products cheaper. Google's taking all your data. Amazon's probably destroying all local businesses. You know, Facebook is also taking all your data. There are a lot of things that they're doing. But I feel like if you did a power of the brand, like you look at that, people would have positive outlooks on all of those companies generally. And it's interesting to see like that. Whenever I hear people talk about, like, oh, yeah, big businesses have to go, you know, and they always want to point towards Walmart and Exxon. But I feel like people think, with privacy, people are changing a little bit, but people are still have a fairly positive view of a lot of these companies, which I find interesting.
I think it is a cultural bias here in America, across the world, I think, in general, but definitely in America. I mean, you listen to the last few speeches from Obama over the last, you know, 4 years, and he's talking about STEM. Like, we think that we're going to engineer our way out of all the problems that we have. And so it's STEM, and it's innovate. And I think it's a little misguided, if I can throw my two cents. I think I would rather focus on sustainability, which might include new technologies to help us be sustainable with the proper, with the resources we have in this country and across the world. But ultimately, you know, you just stop and think, like, can you always grow? No. Like, you look at smaller systems, right? I'm a biology science. I trained in biology, right? So you just look at closed systems. The Earth is a closed system. It's a large system, but it's ultimately closed. We have input from the sun that's steady and constant, but it doesn't, like, we're not getting an extra sun anytime soon, right? So it's effectively a closed system.
As far as we know.
We know how much energy comes in. We know how much energy goes out, blah, blah, blah.
Elon Musk's next project is to make another sun.
Well, they're going to buy Solar City, but I don't think they make suns. If we start getting fusion reactors, that's another thing. But the idea here is, like, you look at a pond or you look at a fish tank or you look at some closed system and you can't always grow, right? It will become imbalanced and something or everything will die. You have this cascading effect. And that's my major concern with the way our economy leans and specifically with technologies and stuff like that, because technologies, digital technologies at least, especially with the dawn of the internet and miniaturization and ubiquitous internet through cellular signals and stuff like that, the scale of which things digitally can happen are phenomenal. It's unprecedented, right? In the last 5 to 10 years, the the quickness. We talk about things going viral, right?
Yeah.
Literally, that's stealing a word from the biological sciences, describing something that just takes off like wildfire. Again, another word from the biological sciences, wildfire being, you know, ecological event, right? So digital technologies can just go crazy. And I was listening to Twit this weekend, and Jason Calacanis, right?
Yeah.
He was making some comment. He's like, oh, you know, people just want to vilify technology. It's no different from, you know, this, that, and the other. And he's comparing it to analog systems. And it's like, no, that's very disingenuous. Because if I want to steal something from you in the old way, I have to take a risk. And because he was saying, oh, well, you know, we put in these self-checkout lines in grocery stores, and people aren't stealing things en masse, right? Like, they're not just running into... That's because you can still be seen, and they can track you down, and you can only get away with what you can carry. And if you carry too much, you run the risk of being spotted, right? But with digital technologies, I can steal from literally thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people, and they will never know. And by the time they find out, it might be years after the crime itself.
Have you seen Office Space? Just pennies. I
mean, that's unprecedented. So people who say that, you know, digital systems are no different from their analog counterparts is a very disingenuous argument. So again, coming back to this idea of these companies being so young and growing so fast, it just sticks out because, to me at least, because that's what digital things allow you to do in this environment that we've built. It allows you to grow very fast, but if growth is unchecked, it will ultimately, I think, or unmanaged, I think it will lead to cascading effects, being like disastrous collapse.
Well, that's the next book written by Josiah Hills. We're going to see what happens in that.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store. You can find us on YouTube by searching for The Commentists. Please share us with your friends. Leave us questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, be sure to check out thecommentists.com. See all of our other great podcasts like Roll the Hit.
The Bearded award-nominated Bearded Vegans.
Veg News. Really? Veg News. They're up for Podcast of the Year. Bearded Vegans.
Have they listened to The Unwind? Do you think we can get on Veg News?
Say meat too much.
Sky on Fire. And many more.
Just lots of good stuff.
Good stuff. We'll see you next week.
8K, man.
I don't have enough Ks. I need more Ks.